I am Matthew J. Smith from Wittenberg University. It's been said that Ohio is the heart of it all, and while that particular campaign slogan was useful for bringing tourists into the state of Ohio, there's also a ring of truth to it when it comes to describing a field of study that I'm interested in. There seem to be an atypical number of influential figures who have their roots planted firmly in Ohio soil and stretch out into the development of the field of graphic storytelling. Graphic storytelling is the kind of communication where you combine words and pictures to create distinct meanings. We think of it taking place in newspaper comic strips, comic book magazines, and graphic novels. As an art form, graphic storytelling has struggled for recognition within the wider culture. It's often been ostracized and labeled an outlier in the pantheon of the arts. Those of us who are involved in an interdisciplinary effort called comic arts studies are really trying to raise awareness of the field, the contributors who have made it great, and those who have struggled to try and break through those particular boundaries. What I'd like to talk to you about today is a handful of individuals, all who have had a life in the state of Ohio, who have been particularly influential in shaping what we know as modern graphic storytelling or comics. The five individuals I'd like to talk about today are Richard Outcault, a famous newspaper cartoonist, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the creators of Superman, Harvey Pekar, an outspoken independent cartoonist, and Jeff Smith, the creator of the popular all-ages series Bone. Richard Outcault's success really became a model for other cartoonists to aspire to. Outcault was born in Lancaster, Ohio, and he was a prodigy in terms of his artistic talent, finding himself on his way to the University of Cincinnati School of Design as a young man. After working as an illustrator for Thomas Edison, Outcault became a contributor to the New York World, one of the influential newspapers in New York City of its day, published by Joseph Pulitzer. Outcault debuted Hogan's Alley in May of 1895, and one of the characters that was featured in that particular cartoon was a young man in a yellow nightshirt running around his neighborhood. That young man became known as the Yellow Kid, and a famous character from that day forth. Now, Outcault wasn't necessarily a true innovator in the sense that he used multiple panels to tell stories or thought of speech balloons for the first time or even used Keller initially. But he is worth noting because he was the first to really popularize the use of these items in tandem. In fact, it was interest in the Yellow Kid that helped sell most newspapers at the time. So popular was Outcault's cartoon that Pulitzer's chief competitor, William Randolph Hearst, came knocking on his door and enticed him to come over and work for him at a competing newspaper. Both publishers became synonymous with Outcault's Yellow Kid, and the sensationalism that they practiced in the other pages of their newspaper became the basis for the label of yellow journalism, a stigma that stays with those who practice unsavory journalism to this day. The stigma, though, didn't stick with Outcault himself. In 1902, he went on to have even more success with another cartoon character called Buster Brown. Buster Brown is what we might call today one of the earliest transmedia properties of the time. He was a star of not just cartoons, but went on to be popular in stage plays and even silent films. You might know Buster Brown from the popular shoe line that still bears the character's name. Outcault inspired a generation of boys to want to grow up and become successful cartoonists themselves. The lucrative world of syndicated comics was a particular draw for two young men from Cleveland, Ohio, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. Both of them, working in tandem, created one of the most memorable characters in American fiction, Superman. Siegel was born in 1914 in Cleveland, Ohio. Shuster had been born in Toronto and moved to the United States as a child. By 1931, the two were in Cleveland's Glenville High School together, becoming first friends and then collaborators on a number of artistic projects. Siegel would write the scripts and Shuster would illustrate them. Initially, they found some work post-graduation, for DC Comics, selling strips like Dr. Occult and Slam Bradley, but were notorious for not being able to sell their prized concept, Superman. Finally, in 1938, their publisher at DC Comics agreed to give Superman a spot in the newly launched Action Comics. Superman proved to be a phenomenon. It is not an understatement to say that Superman created the comic magazine industry. His lead inspired others to join the medium and led to a proliferation of comics across the United States. Superman as a character, of course, has gone on to star in virtually every other medium that we have available to us, and he's become an iconic representation of the United States. Siegel and Schuster were initially beneficiaries of that popularity, but in the long term, they had signed over rights to DC Comics for the character. They would spend years trying to reclaim some of that fortune that came along with the fame of the character. And theirs became a cause célèbre for many in the industry who recognized that doing work for hire for major publishers meant taking a risk that you would lose your own creative license over the characters. Later creators did find their voice, though, outside the dynamics of the major publishers. One in particular was a gentleman from Cleveland named Harvey Pekar. Pekar is best known as the creator of the self-published comic book series American Splendor. He was born in Cleveland in 1939 and graduated from Shaker Heights High School. He attended Case Western Reserve University, and after a stint in the Navy, he returned to Cleveland to work for Cleveland's Veterans Administration Hospital. Not exactly the pedigree you'd expect for a famous cartoonist. But in 1976, Pekar decided to move beyond the humdrum experiences working at a VA and began to chronicle his livelihood in the pages of American Splendor. This wasn't more superheroics or cartoon illustrations of rough and tumble children. This was about everyday life. His friend and collaborator, Robert Crumb, who had already gained some acclaim as an underground comics artist himself, encouraged Pekar to tell stories about himself, a trip to the grocery store, the thrill of writing a jazz column for a magazine. These became the basis of a long-time effort on Pekar's part that stretched until 2010 and his death, and in fact, has even gone beyond as some posthumous works continue to come forward. Pekar was one of the most influential voices in what we've come to know as memoir comics. These are autobiographical accounts of how someone's life is lived. They are currently much the rage in the comics industry, and they represent a more mature step forward for what you can do with comics. By the 1980s, Pekar had become well-known to audiences in television land as a frequent guest star on Late Night with David Letterman. In 2003, his exploits were adapted into the film, aptly titled American Splendor, and the film featured Paul Giamatti playing Harvey Pekar. It was named Grand Jury Prize winner for dramatic film at Sundance and was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. Pekar, however, isn't the only independent publisher from the state of Ohio who has impacted the comics industry. Jeff Smith is best known for the creation of Bone, an all-ages saga that seeks to explore the wonder of discovery and revelation. Smith had been born in McKees Rock, Pennsylvania in 1960, but moved to Columbus as a child. He grew up in the Worthington neighborhood and graduated from Worthington High School before going on to The Ohio State University. There, he worked on the college newspaper, The Lantern, and developed a strip called Thorn. Many of the characters in Thorn went on to appear in Bone, a long saga that he began in 1991 when he launched his company, Cartoon Books. The idea of Bone was to explore the possibility of publishing an independent voice in a medium largely embraced or controlled by large companies. Cartoon Books, under Jeff Smith, published 55 black and white issues of Bone between 1991 and 2004. To most people, comics are ephemera. They are here today and gone tomorrow. The comics that are on the shelves right now sold out and forgotten in short order. One of the things that Jeff Smith did to really turn the industry on its ear was begin to put his comics back into print after a period of time, so that new audiences discovering his adventures later on could go back and pick up the saga from the beginning. He also turned the industry on its head when he compiled the entire 55-volume saga in one large publication in 2004 called The Brick. It's a 1,300-page compilation of the entire Bones saga. Time magazine has hailed it as the best all-ages graphic novel yet published. And in point in fact, Scholastic, the world's largest children's publisher, created a new imprint in 2005 and featured Bone in full color as the first title to be released through that imprint. Smith's art has now been featured in museum shows at the Wexner Center, and in 2009, a documentary chronicled his life and exercises called The Cartoonist. In conclusion, these five individuals would likely make any list of comics greats, but that they have all had lives in the state of Ohio says something extraordinary about the Buckeye State. Now, part of this extraordinary set of conditions is acknowledged by our state's institutions of higher learning. Bowling Green State University houses the Brown Popular Culture Library, which has one of the most comprehensive comics collections in the country, and the Ohio State University has the Billy Ireland Cartoon Library and Museum, one of the most well-regarded collections of comics and cartoons in the world. Now, the discerning viewer may ask, why Ohio? Well, one possible explanation could be that, as heart of America, Ohio does have a sense of cohesion with the rest of the nation, that an all-American upbringing in the heart of the nation brings with it an understanding of how to reach across the nation and appeal to a mass audience. Another possible explanation is that, like that other hotbed of creative activity, New York City, a lot of working-class people were striving to make a better life for themselves in Ohio. They found comics as a medium that would give them the means to rise above their station and achieve both a contribution to the arts and a modicum of fame for themselves. Comics are a unique art form in the sense that they provide access that is widespread. All you really need is some paper, a pencil, and an active imagination. Harvey Pekar once said, "Comics are just words and pictures. You can do anything in the world with words and pictures." These individuals prove that, indeed, you certainly can. Thank you.